I'm no Betty or Veronica, not even Jughead. Don't you call me a Reggie, I'd rather be caught dead. Just two friends who don't know who they wanna be. Let's see them figure it out, on Archie and Me.
Welcome to Archie and Me and Archie Comics Podcast. I'm Josh.
Versus Brandon.
We're versing today.
Yeah. We're slapping each other right now, actually.
Yeah. Ow, ow, ow.
But we are here to review the all-new Archie versus Minor Threats number one, and we figure we can't just review it. We should also talk to one of the co-writers. Our great friend of the pod, Timmy Haig, is with us today.
Pow! Right in the kisser. Hey, guys. What's up? I can fight, too. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, we're so glad to finally, you know, see this issue in real life. We've been talking about it for a while. It's so great to see printed, you know.
As God intended.
So you have been on the pod before to talk at length about this crossover back when it was first announced, which we'll definitely be resharing. But we wanted to bring you on because it's, like Josh has said, it's out in the real world now. And we would love if you could just start with a super quick pitch for Archie versus Minor Threats and why folks who are listening should pick it up.
So Sabrina wants to take Harvey Kinkle to the Witches and Warlock Ball. But to do so, to take a human, you gotta have a mystical artifact as your ticket to allow this to happen. So she discovers that in the Twilight City Natural History Museum, there's a relic called the Five Fingers of Merlin. And she needs to get there. Her connect bailed. So she gets on a field trip to Twilight City on the Riverdale High bus and is a little stowaway, and it all goes terribly wrong because Twilight City is the city that takes place in the Minor Threats universe. That's where it's all going down. D-list supervillains, crazy superheroes, just off the wall. And it's a universe created by Patton Oswalt and Jordan Bloom, who I co-write this with. And the whole series got amazing artwork by the Scott Koblish, and it's action-packed. It's funny. It is Minor Threats, essentially volume 1.5. So if you've read the first volume, you can dive right into this. And this is a love letter to all things Archie. If you love classic Archie, if you love Archie horror, the modern Mark Waid era, there is something in this for everybody.
Well, I'm sold. I mean, I already have my issue, but I'm sold again.
We're going to back to buy another one.
Love that. Well, there's six covers, guys, so, you know.
Six covers, and they're all great. Well, you did point That's out right. That this takes place, chronologically, between Minor Threats Volume 1 and Minor Threats Volume 2. So we definitely encourage people to pick up Minor Threats Volume 1 if you're interested in that world. And one of the things I love about this crossover, even just in reading issue number 1, is that it's not just that you're taking action figures from both toy boxes and smashing them together, but you're actually giving the characters of Minor Threats some really interesting character development so that this crossover already feels like it's going to have an impact on those books as well.
And I'm happy to say you're darn right it does. Absolutely. It's got implications for Frankie Folas, a.k.a. Playtime, for the events of it. Volume 2, it all makes sense why she hates magic, and it deals with her trauma of the events of what happened in Volume 1, and later on in the saga of Minor Threats in Volume 3 and so forth, there will be ramifications of what happens in this crossover touched upon in later volumes that Patton and Jordan will write.
So you just mentioned what we're going to talk about next. Magic plays a unique role in Minor Threats, so using Sabrina as a connecting character between these two worlds makes so much sense. Can you talk about developing the idea to put Sabrina and magic more generally front and center in the crossover?
Yeah, Patton and Jordan really laid out in Volume 2 that Frankie hates magic, and they never talk about it. They just kind of leave it as a lingering storyline to touch upon later, which at this, you know, for this crossover, that's what we do. And I'll be honest with you, we're all friends here. I've had a I've been wanting to write Sabrina the Teenage Witch in something special for a really long time. I've been able to put her in some digests through the years, but I've never been able to do like a, hey, here's my Sabrina the Teenage Witch story. And with magic and, you know, Frankie hating magic and, you know, magic being such a fun element to play with, especially in comic book crossovers of bringing two universes together, two cast of characters, it just worked out perfectly. And then from there, you know, we got to create a new original character called Top Hat, which is a villain from, you know, that has ties to Frankie's past and also involves himself as a antagonist to Sabrina, the teenage witch. And Sabrina, with all that being said, she's also the catalyst of bringing Archie and the gang to Twilight City with that field trip gone wrong. And yeah, it's all Sabrina's fault.
There's so many great moments between Salem and Sabrina in this first issue. I really loved their dialogue together.
You that's great to hear, because you haven't seen anything yet with just there's so much Salem. Like, you haven't seen nothing yet. That's the expression. I can talk. You haven't seen nothing yet because there's so much Salem and Archie in issue two, where we team those two characters up who've never really had like a team up issue before or a like storyline. And it was really fun to pair Salem with Sabrina in this, but also of course with Archie, because it's just something that, you know, you don't think would happen, and in this it does, and I'd like to think we pulled it off.
We already name-dropped the great Scott Koblish in the pod so far, and if for folks who are listening to this and they picked up this issue and they have not experienced Scott Koblish's art before this, you're definitely in for a treat. And his art paired with Hi-Fi's colors, it brings a ton of energy and detail to this book. I'm constantly looking in the background for, you know, the objects that are in rooms or, like, different minor characters who are, you know, in the backgrounds of panels. Can you talk a little bit about, like, just, like, the creative team's, you know, vision for telling this story in the art and packing in so many details and so much lore in the visuals?
Yeah, Pat and Jordan, when they created Minor Threats, the big elevator pitch for it that's always just so appealing to comic fans is that it's this brand new universe, but it's already got 60 years of continuity essentially already established, but they don't care about explaining it. You just dive yourself in and it works. And so there's a lot of, you know, with that you can play around with a lot of Easter eggs. And so with Archie and Minor Threats, there is a lot of Minor Threats like in-universe Easter eggs, a lot of stuff we just, you know, put out there that is visually cool, which Koblish kills at it. But we also of course do the same for Archie and the gang when, you know, you're in Riverdale, or, you know, there's Archie elements when they're in Twilight City, of paying homage and tribute to everything Archie, because it's just, you know, who doesn't love a good Easter egg? And, you know, with Archie, there's 85 years of history to do it. But with Koblish, like, he's my guy. Like, I've known him for over a decade. It's a joy to work with him, a thrill of a lifetime. And, like, when this project came to be, he was my first pick, which I'm very thankful that I got to choose my first choice for this project for my first four-issue miniseries, a combo crossover of two properties, and I got to, you know, have the guy I wanted. And Koblish, like, is just an immense powerhouse talent. He has crafted something in this book that I feel like is just a comic fan's comic. Like, just the art alone visually is just something any sequential art enjoyer can just appreciate. And he's done such a great job of creating the style of Minor Threats that was, you know, co-created by Scott Hepburn in the original Minor Threats volume with Patton and Jordan. He's done a great job of riffing off that style and paying tribute. And then also doing the cast of, you know, all the Archie characters, the Riverdale gang, in such a style that is very Archie House style with a modern yet classic spin on it. And we're talking design, we're talking, you know, the outfits. And when he has both characters on the same page, the same panel, I really think he does such a great special job of having these two contrasting characters that shouldn't be together. And they look so ridiculous being next to each other, but it works. And I'm really proud to be part of this project that is just such a great visual, just masterpiece that Koblish has done.
Well, I think that's where also the colors play such a yes, an important role, like the difference in colors between the
Hi-Fi rules.
Yes, the sets of characters. And like you said, when you see them together, we get the meshing of those two worlds for sure.
Yeah, Hi-Fi did such a good job on the colors.
All right, Josh, I think that you have prepared for us one of your quintessential games. I always love your games on the pod.
In another life, you could have been a game show host, really.
Yes, I have prepared a game, and this game is called Quoteth the Salem.
Love it.
Love that. Wow.
And in this game, we have quotes from either Salem, from the TV show Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or another kind of Minor Threats. They're quotes from the 1998 blockbuster Small Soldiers.
Was it a blockbuster?
I think, in my heart.
Okay. I mean, I loved it as a kid.
I mean, but I saw Yeah, I saw it multiple times in theaters as a kid. I had all the toys. There was like Universal Studios Hollywood stuff for small soldiers that I, you know, had my parents take me to. I guess what I'm trying to say is if the person who holds the licensing IP for Small Soldiers Comics is listening right now, I might be down for a conversation.
Well, I think Josh might have to get some sort of consulting credit at this
sure,
point.
Sure, sure, sure.
You put a lot of thought
into it. Yes, done.
So I'll throw out a quote, and you and Brandon can discuss if you think it's from Salem or from the blockbuster Small Soldiers.
Now, this is Salem
the first quote.
From the Spree.
It's Salem from the TV show, yes.
Okay.
The Melissa Joan Hart TV show.
Correct.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the animated series or Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Oh, but the cat doesn't talk in that, so retract that, please. Retract. No fake fans here.
The first quote. I can't discuss politics with you.
I'm going to choose Salem. I could see Salem just not being in the mood to discuss politics. Now, are these Small Soldiers quotes from Small Soldiers, the action figure characters, the Gorgonites, and whatever the military fraction's called? Or are these humans as well in the show, in the movie Small Soldiers?
It's quotes from the whole movie, so it could be any of those characters. Ah,
you son of a gun. Okay.
I love that you remembered that they're called Gorgonites.
Yes, I'm not, you know, I'm loyal to the lore of Small Soldiers.
Well, just to add some suspense, I'll say the opposite. I'll say it's from Small Soldiers.
The answer is, it was Salem.
2 milkshake points to me.
We all know he's a libertarian. Our second quote. Can you cut off my ear and place it in this envelope?
Oh, that's got to be Small Soldiers,
duh.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
why would
I already
Salem,
know the scene.
Yeah. Why would Salem... Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. You know what, guys? I think after this, the first thing I'm going to do is no priorities in my life will happen before the utmost important priority that is tracking down a copy of Small Soldiers on Blu-ray physical media.
Well, you know, they just released a new 4K restoration, so...
Criterion Collection, Small Soldiers.
Yeah, Criterion, yeah.
It was Salem.
Oh, really?
It was Salem.
Wow.
What?
What's the episode? What's the context, please?
I don't have that information handy.
Josh Wright, you son of a gun.
Now I want to know what scene from Small Soldiers Timmy hallucinated.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, for real.
Josh jumping in to say it's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Season 4, Episode 8, Aging Not So Gracefully, where we find out Salem is a really big fan of Paula Abdul, and he's sending her all these fan letters, and even he wants to pretend to be kidnapped. So you know, that's why he wants to send his ear.
The next quote. Are you scared? We're all scared. You have to be crazy not to be scared.
It has to
I mean,
be
that's
Small
definitely
Soldiers.
Small Soldiers.
It has to be. Yeah.
What if I said it was Salem?
I mean, I'd only be annoyed because you wouldn't have the episode ready for me to watch. You tease.
Sure, sure. It was Small Soldiers.
Oh, good, good.
Good, 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 good.
You've got a lot of guts. Let's see what they look like.
Oh.
Oh, that's Small Soldiers. Absolutely. That's a scene I'm not hallucinating. Absolutely.
I'll trust Timmy.
It is Small Soldiers. Woo!
Hell yeah.
One of my favorite quotes from this whole game. You're in a chat room pretending to be a woman again, aren't you?
Oh, that's absolutely Salem pretending to be a woman.
But hold on. But in Sabrina, this would be things Salem says.
It's not necessary.
Okay.
It could be about Salem, too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I apologize.
Oh, man. Because, there's some wacky 90s, computer tech bro characters in Small Soldiers that, could totally be down for a game of catfish. So, while the idea is appealing, of Salem catfishing people. Catfishing. Thank you. I'm a published author. I think I'm going to go with my heart of hearts and say, I think I'm going to go with Small Soldiers. I want to be wrong, and I want it to be Sabrina, but I think it's Small Soldiers.
I'll say Salem, just to add to suspense.
So this quote is about Salem.
Nice.
Wow, good. Okay, good.
And he tells Sabrina that he likes the attention that he gets.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I love that.
All right, last quote.
Hold on, is he typing with his paws?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the great things about the show is the switch between using a real cat and a puppet. All right, the last question. I've got to find a way to stop these guys before my wife gets tennis elbow.
Has to be Small Soldiers. Has to be. There's no wives in Sabrina the Teenage Soldiers. Witch. The ants aren't married. Sabrina and Harvey don't you know, settle down. And Salem, you know, Salem's just not about that life.
It is Small Soldiers.
What a great quote.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, I really think a Toy Box of Terror sequel crossed over with Small Soldiers could really work. You know, just, I'll get on that.
I love that idea. Well, that was a lot of fun. That was awesome. Timmy, thank you so much for joining us on your tight schedule of so many interviews about Archie versus Minor Threats.
You know, this was the stop that meant the most to me, boys. I also just want to say congrats, Brandon. I think we tied on the game show. That's something I share with you that I don't take lightly. I think I'm just going to pretend we tied. So therefore, we both feel like winners and nobody feels like a loser.
I'll send out a trophy to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Will it be engraved?
Can I request a plaque instead?
Ooh.
Yeah, so be engraved. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like a good plaque. That's good, too. Yeah, I just want to say I'm happy you guys really enjoyed it. Your guys' opinion and friendship means a lot to me. If you guys didn't like it, I probably just wouldn't have finished the series. It would have just been, you know, unfinished, lingering. So thanks to you guys, the fans get the complete story. Yeah, I think it's a bonkers good time, and I hope everyone else thinks it's a bonkers good time. It is... When this episode airs, it will be available, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's everywhere at your local comic shop. And let them know you want issue 2. Let them know, wow, this is the greatest comic book crossover since Archie meets the Punisher. I need issue 2. And they'll be like, you got it. Thanks, local comic shop.
Well, I'd like to think we're unbiased, and we also share your sentiment, which everybody should read this because it's great.
Thank you, boys. Thank you.
A big thank you to Timmy for joining us for the first part of this episode. And now we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into Archie versus Minor Threats, #1.
Which, if you've, you know, listened to the entire first half of this episode, already know that we loved it.
We did spoilers. Which, speaking of, there will be spoilers for this. We won't say every little thing that happens, but we will touch on some big of the plot points. So make sure you pick us up from your local comic book store or archiecomics.com. The creative team for this book is script by Patton Oswalt, Jordan Bloom, and Timmy Haig. Art by Scott Koblish. Colors by Hi-Fi. And letters by Nate Picos of Blambot. And I just have to say right away, there's so many cool covers.
I know. I had a hard time deciding which one to get because every cover is super fun. They got some great talent for the variants. And, you know, I keep going back and forth, but I love what they ended up doing for the main cover. I love how the top hat is front and center. I love the image of Archie there, and then having Sabrina and Salem's head kind of hovering over the action. Great cover. So Timmy did a great job kind of summarizing the inciting event of this comic, which is Sabrina trying to get her hands on a enchanted relic, and she chooses the five fingers of Merlin to do it, which is a great, like, fake fictional relic. I love this, both visually and just the idea of it.
And a great way to bring people together, especially when it involves teenagers, is a field trip.
Definitely get some Magic School Bus vibes, because the opening page is a giant splash page of the school bus from Riverdale just like careening into the oblivion.
And something I love about how Scott Kobus does panels is like he's able to have a lot on a page, but still leave room for example, on that first page, these circle zoom-ins of the Archie characters. And even like the Sabrina Spellman insert at the bottom. Like there's great efficiency of the page.
And that page is doing some great storytelling too, because the floating heads that we see of the characters in the school bus, like kind of having their thoughts as it's careening off this ramp, is perfect, is a great introduction to who these characters are. You know, we've got Betty, who is, you know, worried about her finishing an essay on medieval artifacts. You've got Jughead, who's basically saying, like, I'm about to die and I'm starving. And then you got Reggie, of course, being like, this is all somehow Archie's fault. So, like, we get a great introduction not only, you know, in the art, but we're immediately like, okay, these characters are in good hands. These writers understand what makes each of these characters fun.
And we get a focus on Sabrina's character throughout this book. And I love that we touch on Sabrina's life with Zelda and Hilda. And I love Scott Kobus's Salem. I'm just looking at the expressions right now. Salem might be one of my favorite Archie characters.
Yes. Well, now we just need a Dilton and Salem team-up adventure somehow.
It could be Dilton and Young Salem.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Dilton Time Machine, Young Salem. Okay, all right, we're working on the pitch. And what I love, too, about this issue is that if you are a Sabrina fan, then this crossover is for you. Because, you know, like we said in the interview, Sabrina is the core of this crossover. And this first issue really just focuses on her as the central character in Riverdale. And something happens at the end, which we won't spoil, but it does suggest that, like, moving forward, we are going to get a lot more of the other Riverdale characters. But issue number one is definitely Sabrina's issue.
And just for those Archie purists, yes, we know she's in Greendale and she travels to Riverdale. Which oh, we just yeah, mean yeah, yeah. A general.
The world of Archie Riverdale comics.
Yeah. So I don't want the notes, you know. I don't want the comments.
I get so much hate mail. You know, you don't wait hold on you don't get any hate mail.
I forward it all to you.
Oh, that's why.
I love the Sabrina page where she's doing a spell in the library. I want to buy this page.
I never get tired of the I have a problem, so let me go to the library sort of trope in these kinds of stories. It's so fun, and I love her pose, I love her outfit, the books flying around her, Salem's cute little face looking at it all happen. And then as she's in the library, a suit of armor falls and reveals a scroll about the Five Fingers of Merlin, and that's what gives her the idea.
So she has a classic meetup where she's meeting someone at a diner, which happens to be Pops. And something about the script that I really enjoyed, where it does a good balance of balancing the minor threats in Archie world. But when we have Sabrina talking about magic, and she's saying there's plenty of magic in Riverdale, and we get a focus in the background of the Archie gang.
Yep.
And I just thought that was such a little heartwarming moment.
One of the things I love about this crossover, too, is that if you've read Minor Threats, which, you know, we definitely recommend folks pick up at least that first volume to see if you like it or not, but we're big fans of it. But Minor Threats is definitely not an all-ages book. You know, there's lots of violence and there's cussing and stuff. But what I love about this crossover is that it lets Riverdale be innocent. And it doesn't, like, it really does a great job of showing the dichotomy between these two worlds. And when characters from Riverdale end up in the Minor Threats world, they still maintain, you know, what we know and love about how they are in Riverdale.
Because even if in the future issues the dynamic changes, we had the foundation of the characters that we know and love to build off of, right? They're not changed from the get-go.
Yeah, totally. And it does a great job of establishing Archie as a kid who wants to do good.
As we're introduced to the world of Minor Threats, like right away, you turn from that heartwarming page to boom, we're in the action and playtime. This move with the Ouija board, I'm not even going to say what it is because you got to pick up the book. But I was just like, oh man, this is so gruesome in a great way. Because a big part of the story is the is magic, right? In the Minor Threats world, playtime, she is not a fan of magic.
No, she is not. And like we mentioned in the interview, Minor Threats is a world that is built as if it's already had 60 years of stories. And so there's so many existing characters and existing lore that there's just, in the art and in these environments, there's just so much going on and so many details and so many interesting characters and costumes that you're introduced to that it's just a pleasure to look at.
For example, there's Barfly, who is on the cover I'm looking at, and in the volume one of Minor Threats, Barfly is just like hanging out in the world.
Yep.
And we have a whole spinoff about Barfly now. Something I think that was so smart about the first volume of Minor Threats is that we're introduced to so many cool characters, and they all have a thought-out, fun design. They're not just background characters. Like you said, it's a lived-in part of the world.
I want action figures of all these characters. We'll never get it, but like an Archie versus Minor Threats like action figure line would be so much fun. And I have to say that I have not read all of Minor Threats. I've only read some, but I think my favorite character is Scalpel, and so I was I was very pleased to see her front and center in this story.
One of my favorite characters is Crab Louie, who shows up in the alternates, and that story is like so heartbreaking in a way. If you know, you know. But Crab Louie is a fun character.
I haven't gotten to the alternates yet, but I have seen Crab Louie, and he looks like the lobster from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
But you know, he takes a prominent role in some of the covers for the later issues, so I think we're going to see more of him in this crossover.
So Sabrina's supposed to meet up with this troll to get more information about this artifact and maybe help get there. I really love that Playtime's gang, you know, captures this troll, and he says, Sabrina's finally want to go on a date with me. We were going to split a milkshake, which is such a fun panel. And again, connecting it to that world of Archie with the milkshake idea.
And then it cuts to showing Sabrina when she was waiting at Pop's to meet the troll, and she's got a milkshake with two straws. It's so good.
It looks like a strawberry milkshake. Controversial, Sabrina.
I like a good strawberry milkshake.
Yeah. I do not.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to stop this review short. So it's revealed shortly after this that Sabrina is not the only one who is looking for this Arthurian relic. There's also the character of Top Hat, who is a magician in the world of Minor Threats, and I have to say, he's a little schlubby.
As we're introduced to him, right?
Yeah, he's, his clothes are in tatters, and he's barefoot, and he hasn't shaved in a long time. I can smell him through the page, and he breaks into the museum that Sabrina's trying to get to, and he manages to get to the relic first, and it makes him hot.
And the magic that he does, again, I'm saving the spoiler because you need to check it out, gruesome.
Very gruesome.
Gruesome magic, but so fun. This is another one of those points where Hi-Fi's colors really stand out because we just saw the Archie and Sabrina and the gang on the bus, and it's like kind of bright daytime colors, and we switch to the darkness of the Minor Threats world at the museum.
I love how, you know, Top Hat, after he gets this relic and he becomes a much younger, handsome self, he definitely reminds me of, like, Zatara from DC Comics.
Or Zardak the Mystic.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We gotta keep it in world.
Another fun part of the script for me is the how wholesome the Archie characters are, like you said, but the adults in the world of Archie. So we have Svensson and Weatherby and Grundy, and the bus kind of goes flying. It doesn't kind of. It goes flying.
It does go flying, and it crashes. Literally, it's literally the Riverdale characters crashing into the world of Minor Threats. And there's this great moment where, you know, we have Betty looking out the window of the crashed bus, and she sees graffiti in the world of Minor Threats, and it's got a cuss word in it. She's shocked by this. And then a very scary-looking character from Minor Threats appears. And I love Miss Grundy. He's like, "Excuse me, good sir." And then she stops when she sees them. It's like, sweet biscuits and gravy.
Major Mummy.
Oh, Major Mummy looks so cool.
He literally takes all of their stuff. Even their guitars and such.
Yeah, I mean, who among us has not been robbed by a mummy wearing a Major's military uniform?
So as the bus has crashed, Archie and the gang have to decide what to do because the adults have told them, stay here. But of course, everyone else is like, let's go. And this, it really shows Archie in the light of he wants to do right.
He wants to do right. Yeah. They're a little naive. But to be fair, you know, they haven't experienced a world like this.
They're in bleeping Redport, as it says.
And they wander into Frankie Playtime's bar, where she bartends. And they are immediately mistaken for henchmen, for goons, and recruited into a battle.
She's ready to pay these henchmen up front a ton of money.
Yes. Which makes me think maybe we're in the wrong line of work, Josh.
Oh, no.
Should we stop podcasting and become goons?
I don't think you say on a podcast that you're going to do something illegal. That, yeah, we're just kidding.
Yeah, just, yep. Yeah, definitely not going to engage in henchman-like behavior.
We're going to be legal henchmen.
Oh, I would love to hire some legal henchmen, you know? Like, hey, you want to come to the movies with me?
Oh.
I'm describing a friend.
Yeah. Or like an assistant.
This issue does a great job of setting up some pretty huge cliffhangers at the end, which get me excited for not just like the next part of the story, but also where Archie's going to end up. And I'm already curious about what his story and what his journey is going to be in this, because like you said, he's immediately established as wanting to do good. And he's thrust into this world where, I mean, they've already established in other, you know, Minor Threats comics that, like, there's not a lot of people doing good in this world.
One thing I think this issue does really well with its pacing is that we know it's part of a larger miniseries, but it allows itself to have momentum in the first issue. We're getting to rising action throughout. We're introduced to the characters, but we're left with some stakes at the end of the issue.
You know, it was such a fun, breezy read that when I finished it and looked back, I was like, oh, wow, a lot did happen. But you don't feel it. You know, like, so much information is given to you, but it doesn't feel bogged down by that.
And that happens when the art and the script are working well together.
Yes.
Because like we said, the panel layouts, where everything's placed, it really allows you to easily read it and move forward in the story. Well, here comes Pop with a check. The check's, it's coming out of a top hat.
Oh, no. Oh,
it's never ending.
Put it back.
There is a great Pop moment in the story where he's glaring at Sabrina and Salem. And the artwork right there, it's such a good glare.
Such a good glare. Definitely pick this issue up from your local comic book store, archiecomics.com, wherever you get your comics. But also, make sure that you pre-order issue 2. Because pre-ordering comics, super important.
Especially when you get to issue 2s.
Yes.
And if you've read many Dark Horse series, something they're really good at is doing miniseries that, if it's successful, they continue.
Yes. So hopefully, you know, well, I mean, it's crazy to say after only one issue, but I'm already like, Archie vs. Minor Threats 2, please. You know, like, as in the sequel miniseries.
Well, thank you all for listening. You can check us out online at Archie and Me and Archie and Me Podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can leave a review. You can tell a friend about it. All those things help us. And if you want to give us a little financial support, you can go to ko-fi.com/archieandmepodcast. And throw us a few bucks. We recently just did a bonus episode, and we would love to do more.
Yeah, not only will you get access to a couple bonus episodes that we put up on Ko-fi if you donate, but also, if you donate, message us, let us know. I'll send you a free sticker.
It's cute.
It is cute. Created by the great Sacha Jones.
And join us next week as we talk about Betty and Veronica, Fun in the Sun. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I'm no Betty or Veronica, not even Jughead. Don't you call me a Reggie, I'd rather be caught dead. Just two friends who don't know who they want to be. Let's see them figure it out. Archie and me.